Okay, hallo, wir sind wieder live beim Punkrock Holiday in Slowenien und hier mit uns sitzen jetzt Not on Tour. And now we switch to English and start the interview.
Hi.
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 Hello.
We are half of the band of Not on Tour. I'm Sima, I'm singing.
I'm Gutsi, I play drums.
Yes.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
How did you enjoy the gig yesterday?
Crazy.
Probably one of our best so far.
Yeah, like, I didn't know what to expect personally. Because it was the first day, I thought it was like a half day, maybe half of the people, but it was just, I don't know, insane for me, for all of us. We had a good time.
I stood in the crowd and saw a lot of people singing the lyrics, so
yeah,
it was amazing.
Yeah, for us too.
Yeah, I think like the amount of familiar faces in the crowd was really staggering, you know. It was like a culmination of so many friends we had throughout the years showing up and so many new faces too. Yeah. So it was really heartwarming to see so many people having fun with us.
Yeah.
So you played 2 or 3 years ago here?
Yeah.
But down at the beach stage, right?
We played twice. Once was 4 years ago and last year. Right?
Actually,
beach stage.
Yeah,
beach stage. Yeah, we played last year or? Yeah. Was I wrong? I don't know.
I think it was 2 years ago.
Two?
I mean, we're like.
It's very important for the crowd to.
To know that.
Someone listening, like, oh, shut up already. Doesn't matter. Okay,
it was either
last year or 2 years ago, but it was crazy as well. But this was like, oof, mind blasting.
Yeah.
2 years headlining.
Yeah. I don't know. Very.
We're humbled by the situation.
Yes. Okay. Oh, for me, Punk Rock Holiday is. I think it's a very special combination between like a beautiful place. Oh, sorry.
No problem.
a beautiful place in nature, combining like. Amazing artists and bands from all over the world, and I mean, I think people come here from very, like, I saw people from Colombia yesterday, like they come here because it's very special, and I think also the way the festival is arranged, it's close, you don't have to walk like miles to see a show. And it's kind of back to back, so you're not missing out on anything. It's very very good for the bands playing and for the crowd, you know. That's what I feel.
It's amazing because it's a really harsh road in a way to get to Punk Rock Holiday physically with a car or a train or whatever. But I mean, you know, wherever we go, wherever we play in Europe, everybody tells us, "Yes, you're in Punk Rock Holiday." And I'm like, "This is what Punk Rock Holiday is for me." You know, it's a place where I meet all my friends, you know. I mean, yeah, I know. Not everybody is so privileged to be able to get here, you know, from across the world or whatever. But it's just a huge meetup of like my favorite people in the world.
The most underrated punk band is. I don't know. I was thinking about Riverdales yesterday, but they were big at some point, I think. Riverdales, do you know them?
Riverdales.
Yep. The Riverdales?
Yep.
Do you know them?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, but they're not underrated, I think.
Yeah, people know the Riverdales.
They know them, but I love them so much. Underrated.
Can I?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a classic, but I would say the Zero Boys. I think they had something going on back there, and I have no idea why it didn't explode all over America and the world. Oh, my favorite food is hummus.
The weirdest thing a fan did was, oh, there's so much of that. One guy actually wrote me a love poem. It's weird.
Oh, that's kinda weird.
That's very weird. Yes, it was like translated from Spanish, like Google translated, I think. So it was very bad. I mean, if you're out there, thank you for this love song. It was like a poem, like very very beautiful. Something about my eyes, I don't know. It was very very disturbing.
I have something which is pretty
bit very weird. Yeah.
I think the weirdest thing a fan did was like travel twice between countries to see us and miss us, but like both times.
Oh, really?
just like for ridiculous reasons. Never mind. But you know, sometimes he wouldn't buy a ticket. Sometimes he would miss his flight in the last moment. And I was like, and every time he would just contact me on Facebook and like, "Hey, dude, I'm taking a flight to see you guys." I'm like, "Yeah, awesome." And then like 10 minutes later, "I missed my flight" or something. And this like happened twice, you know. So I'm like,
oh, DIY or I took two. So okay.
I'll bring it back into the pile.
Okay, DIY or I should say die, right?
You can if you want
yes,
to.
DIY or die. Yes, definitely.
I can
DIY or BYB or BRB
or
Airbnb or yeah. But DIY is definitely like outside of punk. Sometimes I say, "Oh, it's like a DIY show," and everybody's like, "What? What are you talking about?" You know? And like, it's like, yeah, do it yourself, you know? I'm like, "Oh, cool. Do you have, like, how do you do that?" Like, you know, some people are not aware of how to book a show on your own, how to, many things that, like, how did you start touring, you know? And then, hey. And then, it's very, in punk and like metal, I think also, but maybe more in punk, the DIY is like something that is very common to see happening, you know, around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It starts from booking shows, from hosting bands, from making food, making your own merch, yeah, making a lot of stuff. Like we made patches once.
Yeah.
That happened once. So DIY or call someone to make your merch. Which is what we do.
I think like DIY is like do it yourself is the infrastructure of underground punk in a way. Let's face it, punk didn't start as like a DIY movement. It was like a fad in the 70s, like many others promoted by the record labels and MTV or whatever was at the time Top of the Pops. And by the time you arrived to like the late 70s, it was dying down and like making place for the next big thing, which was new wave or I don't know, techno or whatever. And literally DIY was two things. On one end, it was like kind of like a discovery by the punk subculture that this is like their only means of like actual survival in a post popular world where when punk was dying out and the fashion was replaced, you know, kids found themselves without a place, so they had to go underground and to establish like themselves. And it happened like simultaneously all over the world. It happened like in the Eastern Bloc, it happened in Australia, it happened in my country, South America, whatever. And like the infrastructure was enabled because you had like a DIY, yeah, you had like a DIY ethic wherever a punk scene rose anywhere around the world. And I would say like the second less obvious part is like the roots of like every punk scene, like its infrastructure, its clubs, its venues, its squats, it's all made by people who follow this ethics strictly. And honestly, you know, people say when a band is not DIY, then they're doing like commercial stuff. At least in Europe, like in most cases, everybody's like writing out this ethic from beginning to end, from like the smallest band playing in a bomb shelter to the biggest one playing, let's say, the arena in Vienna, which was started by squatters, basically.
Yeah.
So like DIY is like the living soul of every underground subculture, whether it's punk or tech or free techno or all these things that really depend like on survival in a non-commercial world. And this is why it means so much. So definitely DIY or die.
Can you throw like the microphone?
Mic drop.
Yes. You killed it right now. Really? So good. Really. I agree with every word.
You know, I had a DIY venue in Tel Aviv for a few years.
So yes, it's true.
Pain of DIY is burnt into my blood.
Yes, it's true. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Some more?
What's your schedule?
One for each.
One. One. Okay.
The best way to fight right wing. Oh.
Oh my God! We're gonna be here for an hour now.
You wanna take this?
No, you should. But I give you 20 seconds.
Oh my God.
Okay. Because like he can go on forever about the government.
The
okay.
20
Okay.
You ready?
Okay. So I take the
go.
The rest of the interview from now on. The best way to fight right wing. Well, first recognize the
burn the fucking how do you call the
Sima, it's my time now.
Burn it down. That's how you fight it. You can't fight it any other way. Yeah. You have to burn fucking places down. You have to scare the shit out of people. That's what you have to do. Otherwise, it won't change. This is what I think. Truly.
Okay.
I don't think she's wrong.
Burn that motherfucker down. They're so strong, you know. They have the power, they have money, they have land, they have everything. So, and they have the media. Mm-hmm. So they control minds, you know, by fear. So if you wanna fight back, mm-hmm. it's not by like a silent demonstration on the street. Yeah. It's not that. You have to scare the shit out of them too.
I have a different opinion.
No,
if I can say it.
Not by violence. I'm not saying like kill people or anything. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it should be. Maybe break down like the internet.
I can't break the internet. I'm not that good. actually, I think like the biggest problem right now is that, you know, there is like the best way to fight right wing is to actually form like a left wing political identity. You know, because I mean, I mean if you say how to fight the right wing, I mean I'd say naturally like be a left winger and be part of a left wing movement, and I don't think any significant left-wing movement exists right now in the Western world. I mean, because I mean we live after the Cold War, and it had like a lot of impact on societies and how we perceive like leftism. Like we're all like new leftists in a way. I mean, we're more like libertarian than authoritarian, and we realize that freedom is a big part of what we want rather than equality. But then again, like if you look at most like political realities around Europe, even. I mean, liberalism has taken over much of the progressive sphere around Europe and in the United States as well, in my country and in most countries around the world. And like liberalism is a right-wing movement. And most, and you know, because we live in like what was perceived in, I would say, the end times in the 90s, because communism was gone and people weren't that broke anymore and they could afford stuff and they could have like a better lifestyle, then like I'd say most leftists found comfort in liberalism because it was more attractive than the alternative, which was like totalitarian communism.
Yeah.
But now it's coming back to bite everybody in the ass, because you know we live in like a worldwide cage of right-wing governments, no matter how you look at it, even if you include China and Russia and the United States and most governments in Europe and Israeli government forever.
Most of the left wings are so idealists, that they each have their own like way they see things,
mm-hmm.
that they're so separated.
Yeah,
instead of having like one goal, like one not specific, but kind of like, okay, we need to take them down. So we can't
exactly.
Be, like, you know,
I think like liberalism kind of like encourages this, you know, like
going
this.
To a vegan shop.
Like
there's no one to.
Yeah,
they're so idealistic that the food is like shit.
Like, no, I don't know. I mean,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like get together. This is like where we should get together, not like separate each other because you like this and I like that. Like it's not the time.
Think of the greater goals.
We need to stay together.
And I think like liberalism, which is really dominant, even in our culture, and it has its benefits. It really like encourages this kind of like individualism where we don't stick together, but we can all each have our brand of like radicalism that you can buy in a shop, and you know, and you see a lot of this in the punks, and you see a lot of like lifestyle anarchism, people who are like totally fuck the system, man, but you know they have no idea about like the political infrastructure we live in, and I don't know, like realistically. I mean, does it make sense to anybody that the situation that we are now is like the natural state of things, that we had all those things, all those rights happen by themselves? Because this is how it looks like. Like, people are like, oh, no, don't take away my this and this right. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, you had people in factories, like, striking and rioting and protesting for those things for, like, 100 years, you know? And after the Cold War, it's like it's forgotten. This is like the status quo right now. It makes sense that everything is like this, and people are like, how we can stop the right wing from taking away our rights? I mean, I'm like, just try to remember how you gained those rights in the first place, and it was by organizing, by putting together like a white coalition of workers, of women, of people of all colors.
There's a really good movie called Pride.
Oh, you should check it out.
Yes.
Okay.
It's about, I think, the 70s, about like the gay movement, trying to like get more rights.
Is it a documentary or?
No, it's like
a dramatized dramatization of like actual events.
Happened, yeah.
When there was a lot of
coal miners.
Yeah, there was a struggle of like coal miners against the Thatcher government, and
opposites, you know, like gays and coal miners were like the exact opposite.
And they rallied together to help each other, and this is
for each other's riots.
And this is the kind of solidarity we need right now to tackle the right wing.
Definitely check that out. That sounds great.
Also, bring down Netanyahu, destroy the wall of separation, and Zionism.
We're calling to burn things. I think it's bad.
Well, breaking walls is not violent.
If I get into jail, this is the reason.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We got one last one.
Oh my God. Yeah, I think we have to go. Oh, shit. Oh, listen. Yes. We have to go because we have to listen to Punk Rockers Radio. Because because radio is cool. Really.
Yeah,
You don't have to see our ugly faces to hear our voices.
Yeah. And you can listen to it while driving somewhere. And because you're doing, you're taking your time to prepare this for like people like us. And you take your time and you bring all this equipment and you sit here, you know, and it's awesome. Thank you.
I think like the like punk rock media is one of the things that really enabled it, like all around the world, being able to hear people and be exposed to like new ideas, meet people from around the world. And I feel so fortunate, I mean, that this media still exposes like young people to like the ability to set your life free in one way or another, even if you live in like a shitty reality. And I thank you for giving us this opportunity.